as we get started today, we're finishing off this series called Revival Isn't Coming. How many of you guys have you ever prayed for something and then walked away unchanged that moment, right? Anybody? Okay, just a couple honest people in the room. All right, I'm just saying, I prayed some prayers and then they didn't come true right away, right? There was some unchanged things. There's prayers that I've prayed that I prayed over this city and they haven't happened yet. There's prayers that I've prayed even for your kids and they haven't happened yet. There's prayers for revival that we've said even during this series that maybe haven't quite happened yet. We've all prayed for breakthrough to happen in our lives, and sometimes that hasn't happened yet. But we've prayed. But today isn't just about prayer. Because we can pray all the prayers that we want, but if nothing shifts in our schedule, if our priorities never moved, if our habits don't adjust, we didn't really pray, we just rubbed the genie. What if the reason that some prayers don't change the world is because they haven't changed us first? The prayers that don't change us won't change the world. That's not just me. We're going to look at Jesus' words on teaching us how to pray today. And so we're going to be in Matthew 6. We'll have the scriptures here up on the screen as well as in the Innovation Church app. If you've got that, if you're like, well, I don't have that. I want to follow along. I didn't bring my glasses today. And so you just point at that QR code. That will give you like ways to give. If you scan that and text the word give. If you need the app, you scan that and text the word app. If it's your first time and you don't want to like hand write on those Connect cards, you can scan that and even do that all digitally. It's great. But if you're following along in the app, you're going to see this scripture. And many people know this scripture. It's been something that's been taught and something that's been passed down. It's been something that has been said out of repetition. And so many people know it even without being involved in a church. Because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it says simply this, it says, "Our Father in heaven," depending on which version, right? Who art in heaven, right? Like, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today, right? Not give us tomorrow, but give us today, right? Our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen, right? Like we've heard this prayer. How many of you guys heard this prayer before? Anybody? Okay, making sure. All right. The majority of the people have heard this prayer. And so many times that it can just sound ceremonial at times when people say this. It's like, okay, it's that time again, right? It's that time to pray this prayer. But what if this isn't a script to recite? Right? What if it's not just say this prayer, but it's a blueprint? Wow, those letters didn't go where it turned out, right? A blueprint for how to live. What if every line actually is asking something of us? That it's not a passive prayer, it's one of those dangerous prayers that says, "Our Father," right? Right? That refers to our relationship with who this God, our Father, is. That He's the one, the maker, the creator of heaven and earth, and that we can have a relationship with Him. Our Father, hallowed be your name. That speaks to the reverence, right? That holy is His name, right? It's the name above all names. It's hallowed. I know many of us don't use the word hallowed these days, but it speaks to the reverence that is given to His name. It says, "Your kingdom come." Well, that's one of the hardest ones, right? It's easier to many times recite the prayer and not think about what the words mean. Because when it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Remember, we've talked about that plenty of times when Jesus was in the garden and He's saying, "Father, take this cup from me. I don't want to bear this cross." He says, "But it's not my will, it's your will be done." See, many times God's will isn't in alignment with our will. It's our will coming into alignment with him. I don't know if you've ever driven a car out of alignment, right? I always like to call it the lane change feature. Oh, look at this beautiful lane change feature. I just take my hands off the wheel and it just goes to the right or to the left. And it's because it's out of alignment. It can't go straight any longer. But how many times are our lives the same way? And so when we pray this prayer, our Father speaks to our relationship. Hallowed be his name, to that reverence, your kingdom come, that I surrender my kingdom and the things that I desire. I surrender them to you because it's about your will being done. See, when we pray his will be done, we're volunteering for his will to be done through us. Is that what we truly want, though? Right? I mean, what if that goes against something that we want to do, right? What if it goes against that person we are dating, right? What if it goes against that drink that we're drinking? What if it goes against that lifestyle that we're living, those words that we're saying, the habits, the addictions that we have? Is that what we really want? What if it doesn't fit all nicely in an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning? To be honest, this church started, this was not on my radar. You can ask Mandy. Senior pastor was not something I aspired to be, something I ever achieved, like anything I ever wanted. I told her, I was like, I am fine being the energetic youth pastor all my life. That meant a lot more Halo tournaments, that meant basketball tournaments, that meant skate park, that meant like concerts, that meant a great time. Senior pastor was not there. Told her I wanted to be one of those old guys with the gray hair, but that didn't even work. Leading a youth group. But there came a point in my life where it wasn't about my will. To be honest, I never wanted to move back to Indiana. My first go-around in Indiana was not that great in Kokomo. And if you've been to Kokomo, maybe you understand that. Lafayette was not on the short list of places to go. Even as we applied to be church planters and Foursquare affirmed that, yes, God is upon this and he has set you up and you can't see it, but we can see it, how he's created you and shaped you to be a church planter. And we're like, I don't know. There were places, Columbus, Indiana, there was a congregation that was looking for a pastor. They just needed a person. They had a whole full year's salary already raised. And they gave me a call. We drove through the city. We prayed over the city and said, no, this isn't it. Up in Mishawaka, there was a building that was offered to us. It said, here, you can take over this entire place and I'll be yours. Prayed about it. Drove through the city. But on 38, with no paychecks offered, with no congregations, with no buildings, God said, this is the place. You hear the rest about in Next Steps. If you've never been, text the word Next Steps by scanning that QR code thingy in front of you. But we see God's will. Sometimes doesn't line up with our will. Sometimes doesn't line up with our desires. Sometimes doesn't line up with our plans. But then who's going to change? See, James, Jesus' own brother, says it pretty clearly in James 5:16. He says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Earnest, by the way, it means to be serious, to be intentional, to be engaged. Righteous doesn't mean perfect. It means that you're walking in alignment. God's plan. So this earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results when it's in alignment with God's will. We can pray all kinds of prayers, and trust me, I have. Right? God, can you turn this light green so I can get to work on time, right? Like, we've prayed those prayers. God, can you give me all the answers, or can all of them please be C on this math test, right? That's not the way, right, Ms. Risley? That just doesn't work. Like, going through and saying, God, change the answer key for this test. It doesn't work. See, prayer is powerful, but when the person is praying it is willing to be in alignment with God. Today, I want to show you what prayer, though, usually looks like in our lives. Is there anybody in here that wears a size medium t-shirt that I want to give you a t-shirt that looks either like this and short sleeve white, or a red one that's short sleeve and white? Anybody want to help me out? Ray, you up for this? Okay, all right, he may regret it. All right, let's see. All right, can you guys welcome Ray to the stage? Come on down, Ray. Ray, I got a hot tub for you, Ray. It's right here. It's empty. Don't worry. So Ray's going to be our guinea pig here today. And Ray, I'm going to need you to step right into that hot tub. Okay. All right. And now I got something else for you. I got you something else. Okay. No. I got you an umbrella. Awesome. So here. All righty. There you go. I hope the sprinklers don't go off. But many times, this is what our prayers look like, right? Or maybe you don't pray in a hot tub with an umbrella over your head? You guys don't do that? How you doing, Ray? So, Greg probably remembers all those beautiful 90s and 2000 songs, right? We prayed for the Holy Spirit to rain down on us. Rain down. Ray, you're going to have to scoot closer. God wants to pour out on you. Don't be afraid. And so here we have Ray with his umbrella, right? And today I've got some water, just some simple water that's right here, right? And this water represents God's blessing. That is here for all of us, right? It represents his breakthrough, his provision. It even represents his revival, right? And so he wants to pour it out. Huh. The fact is, Ray's dry, right? Is this how many of us pray? Is this how many of us say, God bless me, God use me, God send revival? But we're covered. All while God is pouring out, we're holding the umbrella of, is it the umbrella of comfort? You know, this is the way I've always done it. This is the routine that I've always had. Is it the umbrella of fear? How could I ever? Craig's worried about the guitar. We want blessing, but the fact is we don't want to get wet. Ray? Do you want to put down the umbrella? See, the fact is, God wants to pour out on us. Can you guys give Ray a round of applause? Thank you, Ray. You can leave the umbrella right in there. It's okay. See, people do crazy things for a free t-shirt, right? It's out on those mannequins right out there. You can pick long sleeve or short sleeve. Or if you just want the hat, you can go with the hat. That works too. See what happened there, though, is the water didn't change. The blessing didn't change. The position of the person did. Everything that they were holding on to, fear, anxiety. Well, what happens if I step out and trust God? When really, we're called to lay it all down, to trust Him. See, we'll say, God bless me, God use me, God send revival, but we'll hold on to our fear, we'll hold on to our busyness, we'll hold on to our control like it's a badge of honor. But prayer isn't meant to protect us from obedience. It's meant to align us with our Father. Maybe when we pray for our coworkers, are we really meant to encourage them? To walk with them? When we pray for our neighbor, not that lightning strikes them, are we meant to actually serve them? When we pray for revival, are we meant to actually live it? Because sometimes the answer to our prayer is our own obedience. What happens this week, right? What happens when we simply pray for one person? Right? Every day, is there that person in our lives that needs prayer? Right? You're probably thinking of their name right now. What if we prayed for them? One name, one person, each and every day. For 7 days. But then what if we didn't stop there? What if we actually did something practical to be a blessing in their life? Well, you know, then that's going to have to change. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone. I'm going to have to forgive them. I'm going to have to say I'm sorry. They haven't said they're sorry yet. I'm just going to pray for them, right? See, you're holding on to that umbrella. It's not about our control. It's not about us. What if it's a simple text to buy them coffee? Invite them over to your house to dinner. Offer to pray for them in person. Actually meet a need in their life. What would it look like if we prayed like it depended on God, but actually live like it depended on us? Because if prayer doesn't move us, doesn't it just become noise? But when prayer aligns us, when it reminds us to let go of our comfort, right? I know we've been passing these things around all like throughout this series. We've been having these clipboards outside. Volunteer sign up. Oh, but Pastor Billy, that's going to make me wake up early. That's gonna make me prepare to serve the next generation. That may mean that I'm here for hours on a Sunday. See, we say, God, you need to do something in this next generation, but we're unwilling to let go of the umbrella of our own comfort, of our own design, of our own will. What happens? Today we're gonna close off with a song that talks about a revival king. And during that song, these clipboards are going to start to be passed around. And you get to walk on water, Craig. And these clipboards, though, they're going to be distributed throughout the cabin, right? And they're going to go in front of you once again. And as I heard that the song was going to move from last week to this week, and I already had the clipboards all planned to pass out this week, I thought of that song that I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry. Anybody sing that one, right? I never met the cavalry, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I used to sing that. I used to try to hit as many people as possible and saying yes, sir, in Sunday school. If you haven't heard it, that's probably better. But what happens when we sing a song about a revival king that says, hey, it's not coming, it's calling us. It's calling to us to pray to a God, but to also come into alignment with him. To pray like it depends on God, but live like it depends on us. Because if prayer doesn't move us, it becomes noise. But when prayer aligns us, heaven begins to pour out on this earth. We've seen it happening all across this country, college campus after college campus. And you say, well, why is it happening in college campuses? Do I need to drive there? No, they're just willing to be obedient there. Will we be able to have faith like a child and be obedient right where we're at, where needs get met, where people feel seen, where hope begins to rise, not because we are powerful, but simply because we're available for God to pour out his blessing upon us without us holding on to what we're comfortable with? So who is that one person for you? Right? When I said that praying for that one person, there was probably a name that came to your mind, and some of you probably said, I don't want to pray for them. I want to hurt them. I want to hit them with my car. You want to pray that country song, right? That all those same bad things happen to them, right? That's probably the person you need to pray for. Would you be brave enough even today to take even one of the Connect cards off the tables? I know it's a weird sit up today. Or out of the back of the seats and even write their name so that we can pray for them along with you. We don't know who they are. We don't know the situation. But would you be brave enough to write it down so that we can pray for them as well? But then, will you move? Will you come in alignment with what God says about that person? With how God feels about that person? Will you look at them like God looks at them? As his own son, as his own daughter, as his own lost sheep, and maybe you're the one that's being asked to leave the 99 to serve them. Will you move? Is it time to put down your umbrella of comfort, of fear, of pride, of busyness? Because revival doesn't start with louder prayers. It begins with aligned life. Not God aligning his will to ours. Usually that's the type of prayer that I'll even pray, right? God, will you bless this situation? Will you bless this day? Will you bless this White Castle? Right? Like I'll pray prayers for him to come in alignment with me. But what happens when we pray that our will aligns with his? Because many times we're wanting God to do the big things in our lives. We're wanting him to do big things in our household, in our cities, in our schools, in our workplaces. But we're unwilling to obey him even in the small things. I know many times, well, I've wondered, God, why doesn't my prayer, are you hearing, God? Is this thing on? Like, God, hello? Are testing? All right. What happens? Why does heaven suddenly feel silent every time that I pray? Scripture answers that question. Psalm 66, 18, it says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Not stumbled, not struggled, but cherished. We're holding on to the sin. It's our precious. We love it. We care about it the most. It's hard to ask God to move in power while we're protecting what nailed Jesus to the cross. Isaiah 1:15 says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Your hands are full of blood. See, God almost rejects religious activity without repentance, without justice. We can't worship passionately on Sunday and then go home and mistreat people on Monday. It's prayer that ignores injustice loses credibility in heaven. When we're refusing to listen to God, I know these are hard scriptures, but they're in there. It's Proverbs 28:9 says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. See, if we ignore God's word, but want him to follow ours, it's not a relationship. That's hypocrisy. I really don't like this one. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, husbands. I wish it just said wives there, but it doesn't. It says husbands. Be considerate so that nothing will hinder your prayer. Dishonoring our spouses can hinder our prayers. James 4:3 talks about when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Probably more in line with that whole country song. The list goes on and on. If we consistently ignore his voice, then why would we expect immediate response to ours? I'm not here to preach condemnation today, because it says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Psalms 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him in truth." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us." We have a God that is eager not to ignore us, but eager to respond. But are we blocking him with what we're holding on to? Our unrepentant sin, our injustice, our selfishness, our broken relationships, our persistent rebellion, that bitterness that I'm just not ever going to forgive that person. Repentance restores it. Alignment unlocks it. Surrender strengthens it. So if heaven feels closed today, if it feels like those prayers just aren't getting answered, know that the water hasn't stopped. Could it be that our position has? Or maybe that it needs to? So maybe before we pray for God to move out there, maybe we let him move in here. Maybe we surrender what we're holding on to. Before we ask for revival in our city, maybe we ask for repentance in our heart. Because prayers that don't change us won't change the world. But when we align, when we surrender, when we confess, when we forgive, when we obey, that's when prayer becomes powerful. That's when heaven opens up, and that's when the revival that's calling us right here, right now, begins. Today we're going to close off with a song that reminds us about that revival king and how he's coming, how he's wanting to show up. Will we surrender to it? It's not a song that I'm going to ask us to stand and sing. Maybe you'll want to by the end. But maybe it's a sit and surrender. Let the words wash over you and realize it's time to surrender to him, whatever we've been holding on to. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. God, we sing about our gratitude. We sing about a glorious day. We can sing about how awesome you are. But many times we hold on to things ourselves. God, help us stop praying safe prayers. Lord, help us stop praying prayers that cost us nothing. Heavenly Father, help us pray bold prayers, kingdom prayers, alignment prayers, and then choose in our lives to begin to live them out. God, I pray that we would pray like it depends on you. They would live like it depends on us. So that when heaven touches earth, the revival becomes visible. And these prayers become powerful. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in our midst today. We surrender our lives to you, our revival king. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.